This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. This week, you may have heard the story of a cute little 7-year-old boy by the name of Josh Hardy. Josh may be cute, but he is also very, very sick. He got his first cancer diagnosis when he was just a baby, and then he went through surgery and chemo and radiation, but the cancer came back, got his thalamus gland and then his lung, and then after 4 years of being cancer-free, he got some bad news in November of last year, when he was diagnosed with the same precancerous bone marrow disorder that Robin Roberts of Good Morning America was diagnosed with a couple of years. And now Josh is dealing with that and a drug company that at first wasn't willing to give him the drug that might help him. But this week they acceded and have decided to put him into a 20-person test that will be kind of a trial for that drug. But what about the other Joshes of the world when it comes to compassionate care for people who are suffering the way he is? Art Kaplan is the head of the Division of Bioethics at NYU's Langone Medical Center in New York City and a regular contributor to this show. I've asked him to come on and comment on this story. Art, welcome back to America Weekend.
Hey, thanks, Paul.
This is a story of a small little biotech company and the big old FDA, right?
It is, and you have to keep in mind when you hear pharmaceutical company takes on little boy at that end of things, we're not talking Merck and Pfizer and Glaxo. We're talking a 50-employee, small-budget, little startup company with one drug. That's the company, if you will, that got besieged with a request to give away their drug. But they're not a behemoth set up with lawyers and so on to deal with the FDA or, for that matter, to run a program that could handle a whole lot of requests like this. So just to set the stage.
No, you're right. They were treated like the bad guys, and everybody who saw stories about them started writing to this company.
Yep.
Chimerix, is that how it's pronounced?
It is Chimerix.
Yeah, and they were besieged, as you say, by people saying, how can you not give a sick kid the drug he needs?
Yep. But I'm not even sure they had enough people there to answer the emails, much less figure out how to give out a drug. But, you know, they're a little tiny shop, and part of the answer to the question you posed, you know, when do we help the Joshes, it partly depends on the company. Some of them are big and could easily run a whole program for people. Others are tiny. They don't have the money. They don't have the resources. They don't even have enough drug to run a thing that would help anybody. Mm-hmm. They couldn't give it away or they'd never get it approved.
Yeah. So how does the FDA play into this?
So FDA sets the terms, and Congress is behind them, so we don't have to just beat on the FDA. But they say, look, if you want your drug approved, here's what you do. You test it in animals, then you try it out at high doses in healthy volunteers. Then you try to drop the dose in a little bit sicker people. And then, and only then, do you start a clinical trial, basically a randomized trial with a sugar pill, a placebo. Half the people in it don't get anything. The other half get your medicine, and you see if it's safe and if it does any good for the disease. That little process I just described, probably 6 years.
Mm.
So FDA setting the terms and saying we've got to prove things safe. We've got to prove things effective. We've had too many thalidomides and other disasters where people had deformed children or had adverse events and died faster because the drug wasn't that good, even though it looked good in the animals. And we have plenty of duds. Paul, the odds of a drug getting approval through the process I just mentioned in terms of proving itself safe and effective from animals to your pharmacy, 1 in 100.
Wow. Wow. 99 failures for every success.
Yep. And that's why in part, just in part, drugs cost a lot because mm-hmm. you're paying for the 99 failures to get the one success.
A lot of people saw the movie Dallas Buyers Club, and Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto both won Academy Awards for their roles in this movie, which was about a guy in 1985 fighting against the FDA for drugs for AIDS patients like himself. It doesn't seem like things have changed all that much in 30 years.
Not hugely. In defense of FDA, when the HIV plague broke out and people were going to Mexico or looking for drugs approved elsewhere, or at least that were available elsewhere, a lot of those drugs didn't work either. The movie kind of gives you the impression, you know, that he lived a lot longer because he got the drug. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. So not everything that was hauled in here helped.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that other countries basically say, we're not going to worry too much about safety. we're just going to see if it seems to have any effect, and if it has nasty side effects, well, that so be it. In this country, we have something called lawyers, and you get a nasty side effect, there's going to be lawsuits. We hear about them all the time. That slows down the process, too. Again, that's not FDA. That's just people saying, hey, your drug, it injured me, and I'm suing you, Mr. Company. You have that attitude, or at least make that possible, then you're going to see things go slower. Just take Chimerix in the case of little Josh. I know they're all thinking, if Josh dies, which he well may, sadly, it's going to be held against our drug. Is the family going to then sue us? Or is the FDA going to say, hey, this kid died. Did your drug kill him? In which case, they're set back again. So litigation, liability, we take that very seriously here. Other countries, much less so.
Is there a way to make this better?
I can think of a couple ways to streamline this process. For example, you might say, hey, if you die in a compassionate use of a drug, somebody gives it to you at a company, there's no litigation. We can find out what happened, but you can't sue, period. End of story, off the table.
You're accepting the risk of taking an experimental drug. We are not saying that this is going to help you. We are saying we want to find out if this will help you, and if it doesn't, you understand that risk.
You know, going in, eyes open, what's going on. We don't know if it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know.
Okay.
FDA can do what it did in this case, which is creative, and it's the first time they ever did it. They set up a little trial. So instead of saying, here you go, Josh, let's see what happens, they said, okay, let's treat this as a little study. We're going to give it to 10 people. We want the doctors to report on what's going on. We're going to keep tabs on who gets it, how often. Remember, we still don't know what dose to give or how frequently. But let's track it and at least have some standardized exams and reports. Okay, I like that. That's basically a pilot study.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be able to say to the company, you give this out, we're not going to slow down any other studies you have if we get a bad result. Those steps would help. They would help.
Now, you mentioned early on that Chimerix, small company, 50 people there. Maybe they don't even have enough drug for everybody else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is there a way for the FDA or the government in some other agency to say, you know what, we're going to step in, we're going to help fund this sort of stuff through the National Institutes of Health or some other way?
Yes, there is. Now, it turns out the drug that Josh needed, his family could afford, or they raise money for it, I don't know. But experimental drugs aren't free. Even in the Dallas Buyers Club, they had to go buy them. They might have been cheap somewhere, but they had to get to Mexico, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you have a vial of stuff and it's as big as a thimble and that's all the drug you've got and it costs your little company $1 million to make it, and that's not true in this case, but it is in others where people want something, trust me, somebody's paying for it. I don't know. How long have we been talking about health reform in this country? 2 years since Obamacare, Affordable Care Act went through?
At least.
Anybody said anything about paying for compassionate care? Republicans? Democrats? Anybody? Anybody here?
No.
I don't think so. So, could use a little federal program. Remember, Josh's parents, what did they do? They had an internet site. They raised people's attention. They had a PR campaign. They forced the hand of the company because they could muster the resources. If you're a poor person out in rural Oklahoma with a kid like Josh, you think you're going to get drug?
No. And by the way, Chimerix says that it got hundreds of requests for this drug. So even if you do a 10 or 20 person trial and the federal government funds it, what about the 80 or 90 or 100 people or thousands of people who are suffering from the same thing? You have to say no to them.
You do. And I'm going to answer that one in a way that people won't like, but it's true. Paul, you, me, we could give a certain amount of our money to charity. We could be compassionate, just like we asked the drug company to be. I don't know. I can't speak for you, but I'll speak for me. I don't give 100% of my income to charity. I might give 5 to 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to ask a company to do more than we ask each other to do what we would morally expect. So if we think the company's just going to sit there and give out the drug all day, it won't be a company very long. The investors will run away, but it's too high a bar. So I'm going to say something that people don't like to hear. You're probably going to get 20 Joshes, and then the rest of them are going to have to wait anyway for the drug to get approved. You just can't run a startup drug companies and say, give away everything to anybody who might want it.
Right.
That won't fly.
Right. Is there a way to speed up the approval process, which you said takes maybe about 6 years or so?
There is, if we could figure out a system to get people more aware of trials, come up with ways to get them into research faster when they're doing those randomized trials. That would really help the process. That's slowed down a bit in terms of people signing on to breast cancer studies or prostate cancer studies and all the rest of it, because a lot of them say, I don't want to take the risk of the 50-50. I would like to be sure I get the drug. Mm. But again, you got to be tough and say, at this point, only way to get it is in a trial. Please come on our trial. So the faster you can recruit people, the faster the whole process goes.
Very interesting story. Always great to get your perspective on it. Art, thanks for joining me here today.
My pleasure.
Dr. Art Kaplan, head of the Division of Bioethics at NYU's Langone Medical Center in New York City. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.